You're listening to audio from Citizens Church, located in Plano, Texas. For more information about this ministry or to give to this ministry, please visit citizenschurch.com.
Amen. Can you hear me all right? Welcome to Recovery, everybody. My name is John Allman. I am a volunteer leader here. So welcome, especially if you're here for the first time. We know it takes courage to come to this place for the first time, so we're glad you're here. Recovery is a place where we welcome the weak, the wounded, the stray, the lost, the afflicted, the addicted, the abused, and the confused. So we all fit in here, one way or the other. It's a gospel-centered ministry, meaning we talk a lot about Jesus in this place. I'm pinch hitting for Michael tonight. Both Michael and Catherine are out sick tonight, so please pray for them. I had about 10 or 12 hours to prepare, so give me a break, if you will. Bear with me. But tonight is a special night. We're finishing the onboarding process for STEPS. I'll do fine if I just followed the script that Michael and Catherine gave me. Like, they prepared me well. So this is the night that we're finishing the onboarding for STEPS. This Saturday will be we'll close out week one of STEPS. On Saturday morning, we'll be here at 8 o'clock for teaching, and then small group at 9 o'clock. Obviously, STEPS and recovery are very closely associated ministries. If you're here for recovery and you're like, what is this STEPS? I have nothing to do with that. Just bear with us. I think tonight you're going to hear testimonies of leaders from STEPS and what the Lord has done in their lives. So it's applicable to all of us, whether we're here for STEPS or not. For those who are here for STEPS, if you're registered and you haven't picked up your books yet, you want to do that tonight. They're on the back table there. There's a sign-up sheet. Make sure you grab two books. There's the participant guide and the assessment guide. So you want both of those. Pick those up tonight. And then by Saturday, you want to do your week one homework. I know that's like 3 days away. So if you haven't started, you can cram for that. You also want to meet with your mentor once before Saturday. Again, ideally. If you haven't, that's all right. We can work around that, but that's the ideal plan right now. Finish the homework by Saturday, meet with your mentor once before then. Tonight, those of you who have registered for STEPS, you're going to meet your small group for the first time and your leaders. And we're going to put the group assignments up on the screen later. There'll be a slide with the group numbers and the names of the people in each group. So you'll see that later. And then recovery groups will meet as normal tonight. So it's a special night combined with STEPS and recovery. What's so funny, Mike? Okay. So you're going to get a chance to meet this semester's STEPS small group leaders. They'll introduce themselves and they'll share testimonies of how God used STEPS in each of their lives. So in recovery, I just want to cover one of the distinctives of recovery. We say that this is not just a place for addicts. And you're going to hear all kinds of different testimonies. And what we hope you hear in that is while sin may manifest differently in our lives, the symptoms may look different. When we get down to the heart level, we have a lot in common, whether we're struggling with addiction or something else. So we hope you hear that in the testimonies tonight. You'll hear people from different circumstances, from people, they all need the same rescue, which is in Christ. So we hope you'll be encouraged by those testimonies, whether you're here for recovery or for STEPS. So at this point, I'm going to ask our leaders to come up here. I think we have 7 leaders with us tonight. Is that correct? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yes. Peggy, Carrie, All right, I'm going to pray for our leaders, and then we're going to begin the testimony time. Father God, I thank you for these men and women, for what you've done in their lives. I thank you for Tracy and Carrie and Peggy and Jim and David and Carter and Kevin. Lord, as we hear their words tonight and learn something about them, may we learn something more about you, something more about your grace and your mercy and your persistence and your love and your power, Lord, that you've demonstrated in their lives and is available to all of us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Who wants to go first? Kevin, you're right here. Here you go, bro.
Everybody was lining up all the way down there. So I was like, gee, says awkward. All right. Okay. Well, I forgot my glasses, so hopefully I can see this well. Sorry. So my name is Kevin Lauer, and my steps story started with just coming to just see what it's all about. We heard about, you know, steps, and we came to check it out. But I thought I was okay. I did. And then really it sounded like a good Bible study for the summer. So I thought, okay, I'll just do it and get some good stuff out of it. And then, you know, I prayed, and I really did pray an honest prayer that God would show me what he wanted me to see, what he wanted me to get out of it. And that he did that a lot more than I wanted him to. it was in assessments that I started just asking, if, you know, see if there be any wicked way in me. I really wanted the process to work. What he revealed and convicted me of was some sexual sin that had been that I'd struggled with for most of my life, and was hiding it. Thought that believed the lie that I was telling myself, other people, that it didn't affect anybody else. It's only me. But I found out that was not true. Through this process, I was convicted, but then I confessed to my wife, to my kids. To my family, and I knew that when that happened, it was going to be humiliating, and it was one of the most humbling experiences of my life, for sure. But just through the process, the forgiveness that I got from family, from my wife, just clarity, just the light shining in and exposing the lies. Not believing those anymore. God, he showed that his way was better than my way. That's for sure. It was a short road for me. I was like instantly grateful and ready to go, and everything was great. But for the people that it affected, like my wife, other people, it wasn't such an easy road. So there was a long road of the consequences of my sin that I was determined didn't affect anyone. But God he's done just miracle after miracle in restoring relationships in a way that I never dreamed was possible. He just blew me away. And then just to hear testimonies of other people that are going through steps, you know, at the end of the semester, and it's just mind-blowing to think of God working in all of these people's lives the way that he did mine. And just to be a part of steps is just really exciting to me. So that's what I want to, really it's just steps to me is it's a tool to shine the light. And to just have a place to bring it all to Jesus' feet and give it all to him and let him do what the gospel is supposed to do. So that's why I'm excited to be a part of it.
Hello, my name is Jim Rowell. I'm going to read because I'm not very good at public speaking. The gospel changes everything. What does that mean? I've been a believer since my senior year at Texas A&M. What a blessing to meet Jesus in the most secular of places. So what does that mean to have the gospel change everything? I've wrestled with that for 30 years. I've been truly blessed to see what it means by being married to a godly woman for 30 years and having watched her disciple my 3 daughters who have now grown into young godly women. How could I be so blessed? My wife went through steps several years ago in a small group setting before we came to Citizens, and I could see how it impacted her. We joined Citizens, and church took on a new life for me. You see, we had been isolated for a very long time. You see, I'm also painfully introverted, which is why I'm not looking up right now and staring at you all. I thought maybe I should go through steps, but what a big commitment. I was talking to my oldest daughter one day, and she said, "Daddy, you have to step out and be intentional and deliberate if you ever want to get outside of yourself." Those words struck me. I would say stung me, but only because of my pride. I was used to being the one with the answers, and now my daughter was giving me advice. So I signed up expecting a silver bullet. Don't we all want a quick and easy answer? What I learned was there is not a silver bullet. I went through steps and faced some things. I learned more about my story and how it formed my thoughts and responses. Part of the way through steps, I was facing a big struggle, and Richard, my group leader, asked me one Saturday morning after teaching, "Are you okay? You don't seem like yourself." I shared what I was going through and how I couldn't fix it. I told Richard the only thing left is prayer. And he smiled and said, "Good, that's right where you need to be." That sort of made me feel better, but not really. The answer to prayer was not immediate, but in God's timing, it was perfect. At the end of steps, I felt like I still didn't get it. Michael told us that steps doesn't end and it keeps on going. And he's right. So I asked John Allman if he thought I could be a mentor next semester. And I said, "I don't really think I'm ready." And John said, "Great, that's right where the Lord wants you." Thanks, John. I mentored again that summer, which was really tough because selfishly I wanted a break. But someone asked me to mentor a young guy who needed it, and I decided, well, if God's asking, I should do it. As the fall semester started up, I was learning more and more about the disciplines of steps. Any chance to listen to teaching again, I was there, and it was starting to sink in. Why was Michael spending so much time on the active versus the passive heart? And the Lord said to me, "You have a passive heart, Jim. How could I mentor if I couldn't surrender my own passive heart and take responsibility for my own actions?" I was a little bummed that I didn't find someone to mentor that fall. More on that in a moment. I reached out to Richard, my group leader, and asked what he thought about me being an apprentice. And he said, "Well, you got to ask John Allman first." I asked John and got his approval, so I got to sit as an apprentice under Richard that semester. What a blessing to sit under such a wise and experienced leader. My summer mentor asked me if I could sit with him, and I realized that God did have a plan. You see, he needed more of me, and that's why God didn't give me somebody. He gave me somebody. He knew he was there all along. I'm just starting to discover how God uses all of us. I don't like to use the term gifts. I prefer to use the term being used. The term gifts can lead me to be prideful, and I don't need any help there. So what has steps shown me? Steps doesn't end, that our sanctification is daily, and that the struggle is real. Wisdom has a posture. It has 3 P's, a posture, a pace, and personified. We learned that from Jamin. The pace is slow, and that is how the gospel changes everything, through a low posture, slowly, and with Jesus. God has humbled me by allowing me to witness his work in the lives of his people, to see recovery and redemption for hurting people. I have seen his mighty works. He has given me his word and wisdom in times where I had nothing to give, and literally he put his words in my mouth to share with others. So in closing, I'd like to thank John Allman and all the people serving in Steps for their faithfulness. The gospel truly does change everything.
I'm also not a public speaker, but I don't have anything prepared. My name is David Irvin. This is my third semester in STEPS, first as I'm an actual leader, I think, apprentice leader last semester, and a year ago this semester was my first foray into STEPS. I started STEPS probably about 8 or 9 months after probably the lowest point that I had been in. Life full of pride, felt I had control over pretty much everything in my life. For the longest time, just felt everything was going just the way it should go. I was working multiple jobs, paying for everything, have a wife, have 4 kids. Just as everything added, I thought I'd just, you know, keep adding and adding and adding and have everything under control. But God had a different plan. God took all that away from me, took all that away from me to show me that it is not my control. No matter what comes, no matter what, you know, hits you in life, the only certainty is that God's there to share his love with you. And I learned that through STEPS. I also learned I had a lot of pride. I had learned that I had a lot of trust issues for all intents and purposes. Not that I couldn't trust people, but that I couldn't trust that they would love me the way I am. And so I had a lot of issues with that. And through STEPS, learned that the greatest love that I was missing was the love of God. And that through that semester, learning to be able to accept that love, not to reject it, not to run from it, and just to be able to appreciate it daily, and to be able to wake up knowing every day that you are loved and that you have that to look forward to. So look forward to the next semester. And part of my story is just being able to get to share with everyone else and walk this journey with everyone else as we go through this. So thanks.
Hello, my name is Carter Smith, and I have the blessing and privilege to serve as a STEPS leader this semester. So just a little bit about me, my story. When I was 6 years old, I was sexually abused by an older sibling. That led to a lot of shame that I didn't realize I was experiencing. It wasn't too long afterwards that I was exposed to pornography for the first time. And that led to, by the age of 11, being seriously addicted to pornography and sexual sin. That was prevalent throughout my life until the Lord changed my life. It was in the background. I was a good church kid, but it was always there. I bled into my marriage. I ended up losing 2 jobs. And it all really culminated in visiting a strip club and committing adultery. And this was just like wrecked my life and my family and my marriage. But it was at this place, this time, that I then jumped on a plane and moved into a men's home in Kentucky called Pure Life Ministries for 9 months. and it was there at like my complete worst. I had nothing to offer. I was struggling even while I was there in the middle of nowhere with nobody I knew that, I don't know how to explain it, but God came to me and in all of my failures, he spoke louder than the voice of shame and defeat and told me that he delighted in me, a completely messed up sinner. And then he just began to change my life. It wasn't immediate. It was slow change. But as the Lord brought me to believe in the gospel that Jesus came to die for sinners and to save us, that everything began to change. So I came home and found that with all restraints being gone, it was very hard to live back in the world again. And so I was really struggling. I was not doing well. Though God sustained my marriage, I still got caught up in some old ways, but I sincerely desired to seek the Lord. Michael's like, hey, why don't you do steps? And I was like, that's great, let's do it. just thought it would be great to have some structure in my life again. And in the middle of all of that, what God really revealed to me was that I was habitually, and still do, struggle with trusting my feelings and not him. He was asking me to wait, hope, and depend on him when I experienced difficult feelings, to stand what's true no matter what I'm experiencing. And even just that simple revelation and his encouragement, just that he would meet me in that place, he brought me out of that season. Since then, God has given me the opportunity to serve, and I am blessed and truly humbled. God has restored me to my family. He's given me a job that really a blessing, and I get to be here. And so serving in steps this semester, my hope is really the same as what God did for me, is that he would open our eyes to see the things that are keeping us from walking in fellowship with him. Luke 1:78-79, I think, says, because of our God's merciful compassion, the dawn from on high will visit us to shine on those who live in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. His boundaries are for good, and the things he reveals because he wants us to walk with him and to experience the life, peace, and joy that he has. So that's my hope for STEPS this semester. Thank you.
I'm Tracy Coe. I'm one of the leaders of the women's groups for STEPS this semester, and I'm going to read also because this makes me very anxious. So this is how much I love God that I'm standing up here. As I was preparing to give my testimony tonight, I decided to pull up my old testimony that I used at the end of my STEPS class, assuming I would only have to tweak it just slightly. I was reminded of where I was prior to the fall of 21, sitting in the pews listening to the participants who had just completed STEPS, giving their own testimony as to how God had changed their lives, but thinking that even though that was their experience, I was the one who would be too broken to fix. I felt like I had a scarlet letter that I wore daily as a reminder of how far my life was from where I thought it would have been. I could barely speak about how situations in my life had absolutely crushed me without breaking down in a puddle of tears. But God, he had a plan of how he wanted to use the incredible group leaders and the fellow broken spirits that he connected me with in my STEPS group to finally help me break down the walls that I was hiding behind. And he turned my heart of stone into a heart of flesh, and I was surrendered to him. I was finally able to find my security and worth in who God is, the promises in his word, and who he says I am, and not what the people in my life or the world around me were trying to say I was. And through the power of the gospel, I was able to see things differently and have hope again where hope was once lost, and to start to develop trust in a God who loves me unconditionally. And this was something I had never experienced before. Since then, I have been blessed to both mentor and lead in STEPS, and he has used the things that he revealed to me as a way to encourage those women that he's brought into my life. And it has been an incredible experience. Such a blessing that he would allow me to be part of his transformation in the lives of my sisters in Christ. I know that I am in such a different place now in my relationship with God than I was a few years ago, but I also know I'm nowhere near where both he and I hope that I will be one day. He has continued to work on my insecurities, my battle between my flesh and my surrendered self. He recently freed me from a sin struggle that I had continued to suffer under. It amazes me when I look back in my life and see all that he has done for me. And it excites me to think about what he has in store for this semester and the years to come. A friend of mine recently asked me if there was a worship song that spoke to me in a special way. And immediately the song, I think by Shane and Shane, entitled You've Already Won, came to my mind. I think the words capture my story, and I hope they will speak to those of you who may be thinking you may also be too broken to fix, like I was thinking. The chorus of the song reads, I'm fighting a battle that you've already won. No matter what comes my way, I will overcome. I don't know what you're doing, but I know what you've done. And I'm fighting a battle that you've already won. And at the end of the song, every time it comes on, I'm flooded with just peace and encouragement. And the line is, I know how the story ends. And we will be with you again. You're my savior, my defense. No more fear in life or death. I know how the story ends. And so for those of you who are about to start the steps process, I know how your story ends too. Trust him, because he is trustworthy. And I can't wait to see what he has in store for us for this semester to come. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Carrie. I don't speak well in front of people. Okay, so what I want to tell you is that God delights in blowing our minds with his love and mercy. So if I get scared and leave, you at least have the point of what I'm saying. I showed up at recovery for the first time, hoping nobody would notice that I was here. After a lifetime of abuse and trauma, my self-reliance told me if nobody noticed me, then they wouldn't hurt me. And I stayed in that place for a while until my home group decided it was time to stop. And my mentor, who was my home group leader, asked me and kind of told me, we're going through steps together. And I didn't have anything to lose. All of my prayers were, God, I can't. I cannot do this life anymore. So I dared him basically to notice me. I said, expose everything, show me what you've got, blow my mind, because I'm done. And he did. It was and is ongoingly shocking. He showed up. He had Tracy as one of my leaders. She's in my home group. So I had what I called my safety blanket everywhere he had me step. Every time I turned around, there was someone from my home group that noticed me and wanted to know me and not hurt me. And that was not something that I had experienced before, and I wasn't ready for it, but God was. He continued to show me these things. He brought me through steps, and I talked about how much I hated steps when I was in steps, but I loved what he was doing, but it was terrifying because he was noticing me and changing me and exposing all the things that I asked him to expose. He did exactly what he wanted to do, and it rocked my world and was absolutely amazing. I thought I knew him. And I thought he didn't notice me. And he has proven over and over again that he knows me. He loves me. He notices me second by second. And so my promise to you, my truth to you, is that he wants to blow your mind too. He wants to show you all of his love, mercy, and forgiveness. And if you have one moment of doubt, just tell him, hey, blow my mind and see what he does. I am super excited about this semester. It's going to be a great adventure. Thank you.
Hey, everybody. I'm Peggy Usella, and I'll be co-leading two groups somehow. It'll be fun. Kind of goes along with the story how I ended up serving in steps. But so my story is I've been leading in steps since 2020, and I just keep doing it because I can't seem to get it, so I figure I'll just keep doing it. Actually, God knows I'm stubborn, and I get the backwash of steps every time I lead through. And he continues to chip away, which is awesome. So I, part of my story is I actually went to recovery back in 2016, I think it was. I was going through a divorce of a 23-year marriage. I have some friends here at Citizens before I got here and suggested I go. So I went a while, and that was meaningful because prior to that, I had spent about 16 years in Alcoholics Anonymous. I've been sober longer than some of you have been alive, and because I got sober really young, and I'm old now. But anyway, so that fellowship was very meaningful for me, and I did get freedom from drinking there. And at the time that I went there, I was saved, but far from Jesus. And I'm grateful to that fellowship because it brought me to the end of myself spiritually, to where I could come back to the true God of the universe. And so fast forward, so I was in there about 16 years mentoring, what they call sponsoring people and leading meetings and all the things. And then I just hit a wall spiritually, and coming back to the Lord, realized that that was not where I needed to be spiritually. So I spent a really long time of not doing any kind of recovery ministry until I heard about Citizens and came to recovery here. So then fast forward, I finally end up at Citizens, became a member in September of 19, and immediately was like, how can I serve in recovery in steps? I did the steps intensive. So I did it all like backwards. I did the steps intensive, then I mentored people, then I led, and while I was going through mentoring, I did steps myself, read my inventory to somebody, my assessments, and so have done the whole process a couple of times. But that's kind of the story about how I got here. One of the things we will talk about in steps is the fertile ground and our responses to it. So, because I only have a few minutes and my story is really long because I've been around a while, I'll just net it out. So my fertile ground going way back includes things like my parents' divorce at age 6 and 2 of my own failed marriages and 2 divorces myself, a heavy-handed father and an adulterous stepfather, an alcohol-abusing mother and stepfather, being raised in a religion that was works and sacraments-driven. So here are some of the lies I believed because of that. God is keeping score, and you can never know if you've done enough to get to heaven. You can't trust God to provide, so you have to get it on your own. Money provides security. Sex is the same as love, and you don't have to be married to have sex. And then here were some of my responses to the fertile ground. Getting married, getting divorced, abusing alcohol, sexual promiscuity, making financial success priority over relationships, and serving in church and tithing to try to keep God happy. So one of the things that strikes me about this is when I came to recovery into steps, it was to serve. So I wasn't in a horrible place when I got here. I was still kind of recovering from my divorce. But even though I didn't come to steps in my own pressing situation, I knew God was calling me to the process and showed me that he was doing spiritual surgery on me, removing roots of the years of chronic acceptance of the sin of self-sufficiency and guilt over past sexual immorality. How I had believed the lie that I was justified in my lack of confidence in him because of the abuse and rejection I experienced from men in my life. How I had struggled, how I had settled for temporary relief instead of true freedom and forgiveness. How apathy about my sinful response in the form of lack of confidence in him had caused harm to those closest to me. But mostly how the sin of doubt had kept me from experiencing fully his grace, love, and peace in my own day-to-day, hour-by-hour walk with him. I'm looking forward to this season of steps to walk in the works he's already prepared in the lives of those he is calling to confession, repentance, and reconciliation. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you, leaders. As I was listening to that, verse that came to mind was Matthew 5:3, says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And I've come to understand that to mean poor in spirit is a person who understands they have a need that they cannot fulfill themselves and that can only be fulfilled in God. And that's the theme that I heard with our leaders here, is coming to the end of themselves and turning to the only one who can set them free. So I pray that you heard something of God's goodness and his kindness and his faithfulness in those testimonies. We have a lot of announcements tonight, and before we get into announcements, I want to pray and pray for Michael and Catherine as well as everyone involved with STEPS and recovery. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, you are good. Thank you for the privilege of just hearing stories of what you've done in people's lives. To know you is to love you, and to love you is to trust you, and to trust you is to obey you. So I pray that all of us tonight heard something that shows us more of who you are, that helps us know you more, Lord. And out of that knowing would come love, and out of that love would come trust, and out of that trust would come obedience, not to earn or keep, but out of trust, believing that what you have for us, Lord, leads to life. I lift up Michael and Catherine to you. I thank you for their service here, for the way you work through them in this ministry, Lord. I pray for healing for their bodies. I pray for patience and endurance for them during this time, Lord. Would you bring them back to us next week, rested and ready to go. Pray for everyone that's going into stops, Lord, that they would stick it out. It can get tough. The enemy will come in and try to discourage and try to get us to quit. So I pray they would remember things they've heard tonight and press through. I pray for our leaders that you'd give them wisdom on how to lead, Lord. We love you. We need you so desperately. Be with us, Lord. In Christ's name, amen.